In the name of Jesus. There are many days when the holy ministry can be downright monotonous, but at least you're safe. At other times, the ministry can be very exciting and intense, but also dangerous. Such was the case with Paul and Silas in Philippi. Suddenly, things began normal, routine, preaching, baptizing. Then suddenly things got intense. The exorcism of a slave girl erupted into a vicious attack by a mob which had gone out of control. The authorities got involved only to flog Paul and Silas even further. First century police brutality. Stripped, bruised, bleeding, aching. When that happens, all that you want to do is find a nice soft bed. Just get horizontal, curl up alone. But that would not be for Paul and Silas. They would be thrown into a prison and locked in uncomfortable stocks. Imagine a dark, foul, disease-ridden Roman prison. Sometimes the ministry can be dangerous, intense, and exciting. Lots of action in today's text. Next comes the earthquake, prison doors open, stocks open, freedom from jail, a near suicide, conversion of a jailer, and many baptisms. The ministry can be monotonous or exciting, safe or dangerous, but it is always miraculous. The big miracle in the text here is not the liberation from prison. The big miracle took place when the bloodied and shackled Paul and Silas stuck with the routine. They prayed their evening prayers. Every time sinful men managed to offer prayers and praise to the one Lord, a miracle is taking place. About midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. The big miracle took place when Paul and Silas spoke the word of the Lord to the jailer, and the jailer responded by washing their wounded bodies. In return, Paul and Silas washed him and his entire family with an even greater washing, freeing them from the fetters of sin and death's prison. Whenever the forgiveness of sins is going on, that's the big miracle. The jailer was about to thrust his sword into his own flesh, but it wasn't meant for him to die by the sword. He was going to be drowned. He and his entire family would be drowned and buried with Christ Jesus through baptism and raised to a new life with the certainty of being united with Christ in his resurrection. The jailer then set a meal before Paul and Silas. While the text doesn't explicitly mention it, one can safely assume that an even greater meal would be set before the jailer and his family, the life-giving flesh and blood of the risen Lord Jesus. Because that's the way it always goes in the mission field. Kerygma and didache, proclamation and catechesis leads to baptism. And baptism leads to the Lord's Supper and the liturgy. Many of us here today, we baptized a lot of people when we were in the parish. In a few weeks or months, some of you will be baptizing your first baby or your first adult. And when you do that, the earth will not begin to shake. The earth doesn't shake when someone is baptized. It is a very mundane and uncomplicated pastoral task. However, at every baptism, a shuddering aftershock from our Lord's resurrection rumbles deep below in the bowels of hell. Luther warns us in his baptismal address, it is no joke to take sides against the devil, to burden a child with such a mighty and lifelong enemy. Well, there's no washing taking place here this morning. Each one of us, nevertheless, came through those doors bruised and bleeding from our ongoing battles with sin and the old foe. On the other hand, we never enter into this chapel without passing the font. And we are reminded that, nevertheless, we remain his baptized children. This is the rhythm of the Christian life. It's always been that way, and it always will be. Also, we didn't pass through an angry mob to get to chapel this morning. This is a pretty safe place to come. Yet in another sense, it's rather dangerous. The law kills. Baptism drowns. Eating and drinking the body and blood of our Lord unworthily can make you sick. It can even kill you. So whenever we come into this chapel, it is best to sort of keep our heads down and our mouths shut until spoken to. O Lord, open my lips. So we respond, and my mouth will declare your praise. And it is the Lord himself who opens our sinful lips so that we can pray and sing along with Paul and Silas. And then a liturgical earthquake of sorts takes place. The walls of Cramer Chapel shake. They're shaken by the pipe organ, the brass, and thundering manly voices. And we join with Paul and Silas and with all the glorious company of the apostles, the goodly fellowship of the prophets, the noble army of martyrs, the Catholic Church here and above, and all the heavenly angels. To participate in the divine service or the daily matins is always to participate in a miracle, especially when it involves a bunch of professors and seminary students. Ministry can be monotonous or exciting, safe or dangerous, but it's always miraculous. For wherever the word of the Lord is proclaimed and his sacraments celebrated, there the risen Lord Jesus is present, forgiving sins. The sainted Martin Franzmann said it well in an Advent sermon, but forgiveness remains the perpetual miracle still. It's true. Forgiveness remains the perpetual miracle still. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.